I interviewed my dad, Kelly Taylor, for the Occupy Our Stories project, and I began by asking him about why he joined the Air Force.
Probably mostly get away from my dad. And, guy wants to get out on his own. And, I knew I didn't want to go in the Army or the Navy. I didn't want to be stuck on a ship 9 million miles from anywhere. And I didn't want to march around in circles the rest of my life. I talked to my next door neighbor, Mr. Keith, had been in the Army in World War I, and I asked him what being in the Army was like, and he said, oh, about like being in prison. Uh-huh. If only I'd listened to him. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I guess I went to see a recruiter in Hot Springs and signed the stupid papers, and my mom and dad drove me to Little Rock, and I went through that stupid Arlo Guthrie induction thing, you know, where they...
What is that?
Oh, you're standing around in your underwear, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, they give you a physical examination.
All together?
Well, it's cursory, and it's sort of sequential. It's one at a time.
Uh-huh.
But everybody's sitting around in chairs in their underwear, like... Alice's restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so then they flew us to Texas to Lackland Air Force Base in a DC-3. And it was kind of Dogpatch Airlines. You know, your ears pop because the cabin wasn't pressurized.
Mm-hmm.
And it would hit, I'm guessing, I don't know, high or low pressure areas, but less dense areas, and it would just fall, and it was kind of unnerving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we got there, and it was real hot, and it rained for, God, I don't know, like a week, it seemed. It was, what was it? I went in 29 April 63, and of course, got out 29 April 67, right?
How old were you?
How old was I? Well, it was 67, I was born in 44. No, I'm sorry, it was 63, I was born in 44, so I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess...
But you must have been 18, because you were born in July, so if it's April of 63, you weren't going to be 19 till July of 63.
Exactly, right. But it was only a few months.
Yeah.
Between April and July.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I got... down there, and you know, they hand you all kinds of clothes that don't fit, and you stand around in lines and they holler at you. Oh, did I tell you about the bus? That was great.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get off the airplane, there's like a school bus painted blue that says, I don't know, Air Force or something on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're all on the bus, and the bus driver says, you know, well, I'm obligated to give you emergency instructions what to do in the event of a nuclear attack.
Uh-huh.
So he says, okay, now put your head between your legs. So there's like, you know, this busload of 18-year-olds, and they're all like, you know, because they'll do anything they're told. They're just in the Air Force, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like bending over with their head between their legs, and he says, now kiss your ass goodbye.
But he thought he was really funny.
More humor in a jugular vein, right? Anyway.
So why did you want to get away from your dad?
My dad has a, he doesn't handle his liquor very well. Gee, there's some rice in this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he, when he gets drunk, he tends to get violent.
Mm-hmm.
And, most of the time my dad's a real nice guy, but when he's drunk, he's a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I used to tell people the first thing I could remember was my dad chasing my mom around with a kitchen table with a butcher knife, but that's actually not true. That happened when I was about 4, I guess. So it's actually sort of the first thing I can document time-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can remember lots of other things that happened before that. But
mm-hmm.
Believe me, it made an impression.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I had all these conflicting feelings about my dad and my neighbor. My neighbor, Billy Murphy, had come back from the Army, and his dad was a lot like my dad, and he was beating on Billy's mother one night, and upshot of it was Billy shot his dad's arm off with a shotgun.
Wow.
I didn't want that to happen between my dad and myself, so I guess there's a certain amount of avoidance in my joining here. Jumping out of the fire into the frying pan into the fire, sort of, right?
So, what was it like when you joined the Air Force?
Well, anybody that's... I guess, actually, when I was out of basic training, and mostly through tech school, when a guy said to me, the most accurate thing that I could tell you about basic training, he says, basically, they're trying to scare you bad enough in 5 weeks to keep you in line for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a lot of badass bullying and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You think, you know, exactly what Mr. Keaton said. It's just like being in prison.
Mm-hmm.
You're totally restricted. You can't go anywhere. You can't even have a facial expression they don't like, you know.
Why? What happens if you do?
Oh, they'll chew your ass out and maybe give you something shitty to do. And if you really piss them off, they'll hold you back a week so you don't, you know, get out in 5 weeks. So it's kind of like prison, right? They're withholding parole.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So were most of the people you met in the Air Force kind of in a similar situation as you or not?
They were mostly working class guys, you know. And the guys that go in the Air Force are largely more intelligent than the Army or the Marines or even the Navy, because the jobs they have to do are more technical. And, you know, if you're an idiot, then they make you a air police or a cook, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or supply, that's another thing, a clerk.
So what job did they give you?
I was a weather equipment repairman, which is to say it was my job to troubleshoot and repair this bunch of mostly World War II equipment that measures and indicates and records functions of weather, like airspeed and direction and temperature and dew point and cloud height and
mm-hmm.
all such stuff as that. And it records them, and in most cases it's on some graph-like chart, and the weather observers and the forecasters use that to... They take all this data, and over a period of time, they make a forecast for the immediate and the longer-term future. But fact is, there are so many variables in weather, it's almost like, you know, you could flip a coin, you
mm-hmm.
know. But, you know, like Air Weather Services, you know, in the Air Force is where all the airports and things get their weather. I mean, they're actually the only accurate people out there. All those people at the TV stations are a bunch of clowns, you know.
So did they have to give you a haircut when you got there, too?
Oh, hell yes. They You know, they do stuff like, there was a guy like, you know, two chairs from down, and they say stuff like, you know, they're all, the barbers are all jokers, right? You know, it's like, do you want your hair, do you want your sideburns? And if the kid says, yeah, he said, well, catch them, because here they come. You know? So they peel your head, you know, they give you a burr cut, you know.
Didn't you have to go to the dentist when you got
there?
Oh,
yeah, right. And actually, one of the reasons I went in is because my teeth weren't very good, and I thought I'd get them fixed. And the asshole that was charged with, you know, they have a chart where, you know, like in any dentist's office, where they record cavities and what, you know. And mine were pretty bad, and, you know, the asshole kid that's writing on the chart is like, you know, another crud mouth, you know. They're all, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you put an imbecile in a position of semi-authority, you know, he automatically becomes Genghis Khan, you know.
Didn't they have to pull all your teeth out?
They did that in tech school. After 5 weeks, they put me on a train, me and a bunch of other guys. And it was really hot because it was like June. Oh, it's like, believe me, it's hotter than shit in Texas in April. And then, so I guess in May, we're on a, late May, early June, we're on a train going to Illinois. And it has no air conditioning. It has one of those ventilation systems where the air comes in and it goes out through this trough on the roof of the car, you know. And anyway, so it's hotter and shit, and we're in these goddamn wool blue dress outfits, right? And then all our shoes are stiff and uncomfortable, and so we're sweating our ass off, and we get to Illinois, and it's pretty much like basic again for the first part of it. And you know, you get up and you march to breakfast and you march to school, and actually there was some period of waiting before I started school where they continue 3 weeks of basic training before you start school, because they're supposed to be 8 weeks in all. But if you go to a tech school, they give you 5 weeks at Lackland and 3 weeks at your tech school location. So anyway, so we got to Chanute Air Force Base, which is like, it's an old World War II installation, and it's all wooden barracks, and you talk about fucking cold in the winter there. Wing comes off of the lakes, and there's, I don't know, it's like there's not another goddamn tree between Chanute and the North Pole, you know. It's like, it's cold. It's the only place I've ever been where you had to wear a face mask. Keep your face from freezing. Anyway, so I was actually in tech school when they finally got around to fixing my teeth, and they pulled all but 9 of them, and they pulled 8 of them in one day and the rest the next day. And then they, after the 8, they stuffed my mouth full of cotton and they sent me out in the snow to march to school. And then the next day they pull the others and they put in my dentures, which, believe it or not, actually look really good. But at any rate, so let's see, I went to tech school at Chanute for 32 weeks or some such shit, and didn't, so I was in the Air Force for like 10 months before I ever got to leave. But I guess when it came to the first Labor Day that we were in the Air Force, we weren't supposed to go more than 100 miles away from the base, but most of us had been in six months or so, and we were homesick, so I went home to Arkansas on a bus.
How long was your leave?
3 days.
How long of a drive was that?
Well, I went down there and spent about a day, and then my mom and dad drove me back to keep me from being AWOL. They had this old Dodge that the back end of it had been, somebody had run into the ass end of it, and it was like completely flattened, you know. And when you looked at it from behind, the wheels didn't track you know, like square. They were like, the frame was bent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised the tires didn't all blow out before we got there, but, you know, for all my dad's faults, he would have done anything for me, you know.
Mm-hmm. So then what happened? So you're in it for 4 years.
Yeah, well, let's see, I'm just going to tell you, let's see, I was in tech school for like 32 weeks, and I got out in February, and when you get out, they promote you to airman second class, and I got, what I got 30 days leave, and then they sent me to Richards Gebauer in Grandview, Missouri, which is right on the edge of Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
The barracks are like those cinder block things, two-story. For most of my time there, I had a roommate.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple of years, I had a room to myself. Great many of my fellow airmen weren't very likable. But some of them were aces, you know. Some of them were aces.
Did any of them have to go to Vietnam, or were they all...
Yeah, actually, one of my buddies, I guess I was under a year left, and there was this asshole kid from Kansas named Durbin, who used to come in every day and say, "Well, Kelly, got your orders. You're going to Vietnam." And I'm saying, "Yeah, fuck you, Durbin," you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual fact was they considered, see, you have to have a year left before they could send you to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And I was under that, but they can extend you and do it if they want to.
Hmm.
They, fortunately for me, decided not to.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I met this guy that had just re-enlisted, and the reason he re-enlisted was they offered me $4,767 to re-enlist, which was a lot of money then. In fact, it was the exact price just about of a, what did they call those things, 2+2 fastback Mustangs.
Uh-huh.
And so my buddy, he re-enlisted and he took his bonus, and he bought that Mustang, and it wasn't 2 weeks before they sent him to Korea, which is where they send you before they send you to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a readying place.
Mm-hmm.
And he left the car with his girlfriend, and it wasn't 2 months before he got killed. And she got the car, and he got the shaft.
And, how did you find out that he was killed?
I guess the news used to come in through mostly through the commander's office, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
He was the one that, I guess, got all the gossip and probably in the officers' club. Like, there was a guy that I worked with for, I don't know, almost 3 years that was from Minnesota. And he was actually a pretty decent kid, but he took up with some sergeant's wife and was actually living at her house on the base and in the... At any rate, so he got sent to Korea, and apparently he was...
Wait, for that as punishment?
No, he volunteered. He wanted to go overseas.
Uh-huh.
You know, they could have sent me anytime they wanted, but...
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any particular place I wanted to go, so I never put in like a preference.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But if you know, you most of them would put in a preference like Germany or France, and then they'd send you to fucking Vietnam or mm-hmm. Korea. So maybe wait, Japan if you're lucky.
So what happened to the kid that...
Oh, he was in the NCO club in Korea, in some base in Korea, I forget which, and he was bragging about this German girl that he was screwing back in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband of the girl was like standing behind him. apparently the guy almost beat him to death. And we got a picture in the Air Force Times of the guy. What was his name? I forget offhand, but he was in a hospital bed, and it was nothing to do with what happened to him. It was to do with some hospital organization on that base. Was a news story about them, but the picture was of this kid all beaten up in a hospital bed.
Hmm.
You know, not really funny, but...
Right. So anyway, so they didn't extend you, so you got to get out when you were supposed to.
Exactly.
And then they give you money for college when you get out, or do they give you a lump sum of money or something?
No, it's educational assistance. And when I first went to school, it was like about $75 a month.
Was that enough?
Oh, hell no.
Oh.
You know, when I first went, I borrowed money to pay tuition, and I don't know, about the last year I was there, I had a job as a janitor in the chemistry building. Until mm-hmm. they fired me for sleeping too much.
But, was it a night shift?
Yeah, it was all night, you know.
Right.
It was like midnight till 8 o'clock or some such thing.
And then you had to get up and go to class?
Yeah. And
did you go to class?
Well, at that time, it finally got to where, like, you know, I was so bad about hanging out in the bars and not sleeping that it kind of got the better of me. So eventually I had an anxiety attack, but I don't know, I went to the student, whatever you call it, the medical place at the student union, and I talked to them, and they were, once I really realized that it wasn't that big a deal, it wasn't really the end of the world, then it was, it was all right. And plus, immediately afterwards, I got a new girlfriend, which thoroughly cures all anxieties and fears. Right?
Temporarily.
Especially if you're a 20-something-year-old male, you know. And she's so, blonde and blue-eyed and cute.
So, did you graduate?
Yeah, I actually would have graduated in 3 years, except for that semester when... In fact, my therapist called it the last semester of freaks. It would have been my last semester, and I kind of quit going to class. And I think the semester before, I'd gotten, 9 hours of A and 3 hours of B in graduate literary type courses. And the semester I quit going, I got 6 hours of D and 6 hours of F. So my transcripts are a little schizophrenic, you might say. At any rate, so I wasn't going to go back, and I got to thinking about it, and I thought I only need, like, 3 hours or some shit to graduate. It's crazy not to just go get the degree.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't make sense to me to just take 3 hours, so I went back and took, 12 or 14 hours and graduated. Graduated at midterm,
mm-hmm.
and then I hung around from, January, February until the next fall, like kind of bum around town, because I didn't really want to, fables full of people with, masters and doctorates here waiting tables because they don't want to leave town.
Mm-hmm.
All college towns are that way, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a job during the summer hanging turkeys at Ross and Purina, and that was a lot of fun.
That sounds terrible.
Taking them out of a truck made of stacked cages and hanging them up on conveyor belts. Poor babies.
Gross.
My one buddy used to say that they looked like, he wrote a poem about them where they were likened to crucified Peters, because, Peter the disciple, not Peter the organ. Because they hung upside down like Peter,
Right.
Crucified upside down.
Right.
That was pretty terrible. But, you know, and I think that's the thing about our civilization is, you know, it's not so bad if you have to kill one chicken to eat, but if you have to kill 1,000 chickens for everybody else to eat because they're too chicken shit to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. There was this guy that worked there called the killer. That was his job. Mm. To kill all the turkeys, and he sat on a stool and he had about 4 super sharp butcher knives, and they would come by hanging upside down, and he would take their hand in the palm of their head, the top of their head and the bottom of his hand, and turn them facing him. Mm. And slit their throat, and they would go and pass. Mm-hmm. And they would go into this thing called the blood tunnel, where all the blood would bleed out of them. Mm. And then they went from there to these long troughs of hot water that had brushes turning in them, and where that took all the, where they dipped the conveyor dipped down in there, and that took all the feathers out. Mm-hmm. And then they came up and they went to the station where there was a guy that would, there were 2 conveyor lines that crossed, and the guy would leave the heavy ones on the one line, and he would take the lighter ones off certain weights and put them on the other. Mm-hmm. And then they went to some place where a guy would cut the heads off with pneumatic. I don't remember if they gutted them first and then cut the heads off. But there was one crazy guy who was like, I don't know, he was like a military brat and he was going nuts. And I mean, he had a lot of anxiety. He shouldn't have been working with dangerous. He cut his thumb off with the pneumatic scissors that cuts the heads off turkeys.
Was he shaky? What? How did he do it?
I guess he would just, you know, when you get really anxious, it's really hard to concentrate, you know, and keep mm-hmm. your focus. I imagine that's how it happened. This is not hot enough, is it?
I don't know.
It's getting there, though.
What was your job in Ralston Purina?
Mine was to hang the turkeys because I had long hair and a beard. They made out like I couldn't work inside. Well, actually you could, but you had to wear a hairnet, but you know. A lot of the rednecks that were in charge of the plant, you know, they didn't like hippies and long hairs and such because they were obviously traitors and monsters and mm-hmm. you know. I guess we just don't enjoy killing enough, you know. Anyway, so they gave me the shittiest job in the plant, and the most physical job, because turkeys are very strong, and until you learn how to hold them, you know, there's a way you hold them. It's like you get a leg in each hand, and they're facing backwards, and one wing is is trapped against your body, and the other wing is trapped under your armpit. And until you learn how to hold them so they can struggle, they'll struggle. Mm-hmm. And since their wings are very bony and they're very strong, they will literally beat the crap out of you, you know. Mm-hmm. And if they sense that you're weakening, they'll fight. But mm-hmm. if you hold them right, they go limp. Mm. You know, and you just put their feet in the shackles as they go by. Mm. There's like 4 of you unloading a truck, so you have to fill every 4th shackle. Mm. It's lots of fun.
So you have to wrestle with live turkeys.
Right. Like I say, once you learn how to do it, your hands get strong enough, you're all right. But until the first night I worked there, I went home and I was staying with this girl, and my right leg, which you hold them on the right side if you're right, it was just completely black and blue all the way down to my foot from their wings, you know. Mm-hmm. hmm.